At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Halle Reuben Hold has written five devastating human stories and a dark and moving portrait of Victorian London. The untold lives of the women killed by Jack the Ripper, and she's here to tell us more. Great to have you on the show, Halle.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So, The Guardian's described this book as an angry yet important work of historical detection. What made you want to write it?
Well, I mean, it's quite interesting because when I was thinking of writing another book, I had thought potentially of writing a book about 19th century prostitution because mm-hmm. my previous works have kind of focused on 18th century prostitution and women who, as it would say in the 18th century and 19th century, fell off the path of virtue. And I thought, well, who are the best known sex workers of the 19th century? Well, that would be the victims of Jack the Ripper. And then I started investigating, and not only did I find that there had been no full-length book ever written about the women, especially not in conjunction with their murders, but then when I started investigating, I found that actually there is no substantial evidence to suggest that three of the five worked in prostitution at all.
Right, okay, because there's been lots written about him, he's infamous, but nothing about them.
No, nothing about them. They have been mentioned in other books that have been written about Jack the Ripper, but there's never been any real thorough investigation of who they were, and their stories haven't been told outside of the context of the murders.
Yeah, we don't know who the people are and what their backgrounds were.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we're talking about Polly, Annie, Elizabeth, Catherine and Mary Jane, who all had this terrible thing in common, that they were murdered by Jack the Ripper. Did they all come from the same area then?
No, I mean, this is, again, you know, there are so many things that we think or we assume that we know about the victims that just simply aren't true. The reality is, none of the five women came from Whitechapel at all. In fact, one of them didn't even come from the UK. Elizabeth Stride was from Sweden. Mary Jane Kelly was from Wales, if not from Ireland. There's some question about where she was originally from. Catherine Eddowes was from Wolverhampton. And even the others, Polly, who was born in Holborn, which is on the other side of the river, from where she ended up living later in Lambeth, wasn't from Whitechapel, and neither was Annie either. And Annie spent most of her life between Knightsbridge and Windsor, you know, two areas that we think of as being extremely posh.
And did he murder them all within the same year?
Yes, he murdered them all from between the 31st of August 1888 and the 9th of November 1888.
Blimey. So can we take Polly first? Tell us a bit about Polly. Let's get to know her.
Well, Polly was born, as I said, she was born in Holborn, and Holborn at that time was the centre of the print industry. And her father was a blacksmith, and he worked in the periphery of the print trade. And they didn't have a lot of money. However, her father was a skilled worker, which meant that, you know, she had slightly more advantage than those families who weren't skilled workers. She married a printer by the name of William Nichols, and they were some of the first families to be accepted into the Peabody Buildings, which was one of London's first social housing projects, and these were all kind of Victorian flats with really mod cons. However, her husband started to have an affair with a neighbor next door, and Polly made the very bold decision to walk out on the marriage. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, this meant that, you know, there are very few options for women like her, and she ended up in the workhouse, and she ended up sleeping rough, and eventually she ended up in Whitechapel, where her murderer caught up with her.
Oh, she'd had a pretty rotten life, hadn't she?
Yes, it was very difficult, obviously, for women. There weren't a lot of opportunities. Yeah. The law didn't favour them.
No, of course. And Annie, tell us about Annie.
Now, Annie's life, again, I think is one of the most tragic, because Annie had, I feel, more opportunities to rise through social ranks than the others. So she was the daughter of a man who was in the household cavalry, and he eventually became a gentleman's valet. So if you imagine Mr. Bates in Downton, that's what her father eventually became. Mm-hmm. And Annie too went into service as a domestic servant for an architect, and then she married another man who was a very kind of well-esteemed in the servants' hierarchy, John Chapman. He was a gentleman's coachman, and eventually the family moved to Windsor, just outside of Windsor, and lived on a country estate for which belonged to John's employer. However, the problem was that Annie, like her father, was a chronic alcoholic.
Oh, dear.
And she suffered terribly. She went into one of the first rehabilitation centers for alcoholic women, and it didn't work, and eventually she and her husband split up, and she ended up like Polly in Whitechapel.
You're right, there was just nothing for women back then, was there? I mean, if we split up from our husbands now, we can sort ourselves out, but you just couldn't do it then.
No, it was very difficult, especially women, working class women, lower middle class women. It was very tricky. I mean, one could even argue today that one thing we know about women who split up from men is that, you know, it's usually the wife that ends up with the raw deal in terms of finances.
Yeah, yeah. And Elizabeth, the third one's Elizabeth.
Yes, Elizabeth was Swedish, and she was born a farmer's daughter just outside of Gothenburg, and went to Gothenburg to become a servant. And unfortunately, she became pregnant, and it appears that she certainly would have been made pregnant by somebody within the household where she was working, and she ended up with syphilis.
Okay.
And went on to what was then called the Prostitutes Register, which was a kind of state-run way of sanctioning prostitution in Sweden at that time. Eventually she was rescued by a woman who rehabilitated her and got her off the prostitutes list, and she worked as a servant for her, and then she immigrated to England. She went to London to work for a wealthy family who lived around Hyde Park before she married a carpenter and then ran a coffee house of her own in Poplar. And unfortunately, she and her husband fell on hard times. They both ended up in the workhouse. They split up. Her husband died.
Oh.
And she ended up in Whitechapel as well.
I wish she'd have stayed in Gothenburg.
I don't know if there would have been that much there for her, actually.
it's just so sad to think that, you know, these people took the wrong paths, and if only, you know, there for the grace of God go I. We don't know, do we, what's going to happen in the future?
No, we don't, no.
So that's Elizabeth. Catherine?
And Catherine was born in Wolverhampton to a man who was a union agitator, and he was a tin worker, and he went to prison for taking a load of men out on strike with him. When he got out of prison, he had to take the family to London to start over again. And so Catherine was part of a very large family. She was very fortunate in that she went to a charity school to get her education, so she was literate. Unfortunately, her parents both died when she was a teenager, and she was sent back to her family in Wolverhampton. She never got on there very well, and she basically ran off with an Irishman who was a traveling ballad seller, and together they traveled the country writing and selling ballads.
Oh, I say, that was a good job.
It was a tough life. It was a tough life. They didn't have money. They were basically tramping from one end of the country to the other. Eventually settled in London, where Catherine had sisters. But things fell apart. He beat her quite brutally, and she drank a lot, and eventually they split up, and she found herself in Whitechapel again, like the others.
Oh, dear. And finally, Mary Jane.
Mary Jane Kelly is one of the most enigmatic of all of the five. She was the youngest. The other four were in their 40s when they died.
Okay.
But Mary Jane Kelly was 25, and she was the only one who was a full-time, you know, career sex worker.
Okay.
And the interesting thing is she worked in the upper end of prostitution as well. So she worked in the West End of London. She lived for a time in Knightsbridge. And there is strong evidence to suggest that she was people trafficked to France. And she managed to escape, but couldn't go back to the area in which she used to work. So was hiding out in the East End, trying to avoid those who trafficked her. And we think that's when she changed her name to Mary Jane Kelly, because we can't find any record of her prior to... we can't find anything confirming her birth date or anything under the name of Mary Jane Kelly. So she's quite enigmatic. We don't really know who she was. She told a lot of fibs about herself and a lot of contradictory stories.
And do you know if any of them had children?
Yes. In fact, Polly had five children. Annie had quite a number of children. Quite a few of them had died. Elizabeth, because she had syphilis, gave birth to a stillborn child and was never able to conceive again. And Kate had a number of children. Mary Jane Kelly, we don't know.
Mm. And apart from Mary Jane Kelly, I mean, obviously you found out such a lot. How did you do that research?
Well, I mean, there has been a lot written in newspaper articles of the time. You know, you start with what people mention in newspaper articles, and what has been discovered about her, you know, prior to this time, and try to match it up with other facts. I mean, we know about her really from when she moves to the East End, and we know what she said about she used to have a madam, and she used to live in Knightsbridge in Brompton, which was the centre of high-class prostitution in the late 19th century in that part of town. And various other bits and pieces you can kind of knit together and create a much bigger picture.
Mm. I think you've really set the record straight, because it does seem wrong that he's, as we say, infamous, the press giving him his name of the Ripper. You know, he's become far more famous than any of these women, and yet they were the victims.
Yes, absolutely. And I think it's time that we start remembering who they are and remembering them as human beings, you know, not just corpses lying on a street.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how long ago it was, they were still people.
Exactly. And, you know, they have descendants who are alive today.
Well, that was why I was asking about the children. Did you manage to get in touch with any of the descendants?
Yes, we have. As a matter of fact, just the other week I met one of Annie's great nephews.
Wow, that must have been quite surreal.
Yeah, it was amazing. And what was so interesting was Annie is one of the only people of whom we have a photograph in life of. And her nephew had the family eyes. It was very, very obviously the Smith family eyes.
Crikey. Well, the Mail on Sunday said, at last the Ripper's victims get a voice. This book is an eloquent, stirring challenge to reject the prevailing Ripper myth. So well done. You've certainly redressed the balance a bit here. The book is called The Five, The Untold Lives of the Women Killed by Jack the Ripper. It's out now. Came out last month by Hallie Rubenhold. And Hallie, do you have a website as well?
Yes, it's www.hallierubenhold, spelled HalleRubenhold.com.
Great stuff. And you can actually buy, if any of our listeners want to buy the book, you can buy it from our website, which is tre.radio. Hallie, thanks for joining us and sharing your story with us today. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Take care now. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.